Welcome to the Weekly Green, a KXEI mini-program on environmental topics from southern Arizona and the rest of the universe. Today we are joined by Brad Lancaster, who's the author of Rainwater Harvesting for Dry Lands and Beyond. Welcome to the studio.
Thank you. Great to be here.
We're looking at a serious water issue because of the drying out and the overuse of the Colorado River. There are plans to fill the gap with a desalinization plant somewhere in California. I visited the house of the Coles. They're totally self-sufficient, harvesting all their water from their roof. So isn't rainwater harvesting a better solution to our water problem than desalinization would be?
More rain falls on the surface area of Tucson in 1 year of average rainfall than the amount of water all the citizens of Tucson consume of municipal water in a year. So we already have all the water we need falling for free from the sky on our community. But the insane thing is we're not using that water. The bulk of it we just send out of the system. And then we import water in from elsewhere, either from the Colorado River or from depleting groundwater tables. So absolutely, rainwater should be one of the major water sources we look at here in our community. And when I hear talk about bringing in desalination plants, I'm very frustrated because I don't think we should even be considering that in any real way until we've maximized the use of the higher quality free water we already have at hand. And so the Coles that you mentioned that are providing all their household and landscape irrigation water from the water collected off their roof are a great example. And I think we can be doing that as individuals throughout the community, and we can also be doing it as neighborhoods, as schools. We should be prioritizing the capture and reuse of our rainwater before bringing in water from elsewhere.
If you desalinate water, what happens to the salt?
That salt is typically discharged, if it's a coastal desalination plant, back into the sea. And where it's discharged, it dramatically increases the salt content of the water to a point that it inhibits life. And here's the great thing with rainwater. There's no salt in rainwater, so we don't have to get rid of any salt. When it rains, when we see the desert blush with green after a rain, it's for three reasons. One, the plants are getting water. Two, the plants are getting nitrogen because rainwater is nitrogen rich, so it's a free fertilizer. And three, it's flushing the salts out of the root zone of the plants. So let's use that real high quality water first before we look at these waters that need all kinds of treatment and then pumping to get it here and to use it here.
If we as a community would fund all the houses in our area having a rainwater harvesting system, how would that compare to the cost of a desalinization plant, building it in the first place and then running it in the second?
Well, it would cost considerably less if we were to be harvesting our free on-site waters. But you have to look at holistic accounting. First off, if we put in a desalination plant to get water from the sea or to get salty tailwaters from agricultural irrigation systems, either way, we have to get that water to us. So there's huge costs in transporting water here.
It's about 300 miles, isn't it?
Yeah, and let alone the cost of filtering that water. But then it just gives us water, doesn't do anything else. The great thing about harvesting rainwater and such is not only does it give us a water source, it at the same time reduces flooding, at the same time is improving water quality in our community, and it's at the same time enabling to enhance the life in our community. It doesn't pollute or contaminate anything else. It's cleaning the overall system. There's not energy being consumed and smokestacks belting out contaminants back into the environment. It's a net loss of contaminants, and it's a net gain of more life.
Do you envision a system where we would canalize the washes and hook the storm drains up to the grid?
There's a whole lot of different ways we can go about it, and I don't think any one is the answer. I think the key is having a very diverse approach. One thing I love in Australia is they require that any new home that's built has to be built with a rainwater harvesting tank, at least 1,200-gallon capacity. And to that tank, they connect up the outdoor faucets, toilet, and washing machine. So every time you do a load of wash or flush the toilet or water your landscape, you're using rainwater first. And if the tank goes dry, then municipal water can go into it. But you make rainwater the first choice, the first water source, not the last, which is what all too often we do, or it's not even on the table here. What's great is this system they found in Brisbane, Australia. When they did this, they did the computer modeling on the first systems they put in, and they found if they did this on the majority of the homes in the city, they would so reduce water consumption that they would offset the need to expand the municipal water system by over 100 years, because it reduced water consumption by 40%. And this doesn't cost the city anything. because it's all individuals maintaining their own household system, but they're just meeting the required specifications. Another great thing we can do here in Tucson is, you mentioned the water coming off the streets and then going down our washes and arroyos. Well, there's so much water. We have enough water to freely grow shade trees, to shade all our streets, irrigated on nothing more than the water flowing off our streets, if we just direct that street runoff into street-side tree basins. In a typical residential street in Tucson, there's over 1 million gallons of rainfall per mile per year falling on that street. And that's enough water to irrigate one tree every 25 feet on both sides of the street, which will shade the street. So we can beautify our community, improve its air quality, improve its water quality, reduce flooding, and provide our own water with what's already here at hand with these simple strategies.
How would you compare the cost of desal versus rainwater harvesting?
Well, there's many ways of looking at that. And let's just look at the energy cost. If you are harvesting your rainwater, say in a passive rainwater harvesting basin or in a tank from which you direct the water out of the tank with a gravity-fed system, there's no energy consumption. It's zero. I'm not looking at the cost of implementing the tank. I'm just looking at the cost of using the system. Whereas if you use desalinated water, for every gallon of water you consume, you're coming close to consuming 0.1 kilowatt hour of power for every gallon. Now, that probably doesn't mean much. So let's look at 100,000 households all in Tucson getting their water from desalinated water. If they were all getting their water from desal, they would be consuming over 68 million kilowatt hours of power a month just to get their water. And then the energy consumed in generating the power to desalinate that water would consume another 10 million gallons of water per month just to get the power to desalinate that water. And that's only for 100,000 households. So here in Tucson, we've got about 500,000 households.
There's a lot of water wasted in ways that we don't really think about usually, like our air conditioners. There is a building, I think a UVA building, that harvests the water from the air conditioning, and it's an amazing quantity.
A public building folks can go check out is the College of Architecture and Landscape Architecture building on the U of A campus. Great example of rainwater harvesting and air conditioning condensate harvesting. Off their roof, they harvest 85,000 gallons of rainwater a year. And then they harvest 95,000 gallons of air conditioning condensate a year from their three air conditioning units. And what's great is they are using all this freely harvested on-site water to irrigate the surrounding oasis-like landscape. Not bringing in imported water, but what's using right there. So there's many different water sources we can tap. Rainwater, air conditioning condensate, gray water. In that case, they harvest the gray water from the drinking fountains, and more. So that's where I think we should start. The water we choose to use makes a huge difference in our impact on the world.
Somebody told me that a man uses about 3.5 gallons of water per day on average, and a woman 2.5.
Well, the World Health Organization recommends that the minimum need for a good quality of life is 6 gallons per person per day. That wouldn't just be drinking, that would be also be washing, bathing, and whatnot. That's the minimum standard. And then you look at what we typically consume in Tucson. The average Tucsonan uses about 112 gallons per person per day. So we could certainly conserve.
I realized the other day that when I rinse out a pot, I tend to let the water run until all the grime is gone. And then I realized this is wrong. I should just put the water in the pot and let it do its work because it needs a little time to dissolve the grime. And then you can just throw it out and rinse it once and be
absolutely
done with it.
Absolutely. Yeah. And dogs make great living dishwasher too. Let's not forget our reuse of water, and we can do that freely on-site with gravity rather than an expensive treatment plant. If we just send our once-used water from the drain directly to the landscape, we can reuse it as gray water that can then grow shading, cooling trees that also produce food for us, wildlife habitat, flood control, and so on. And it turns out that the average family in Tucson, the amount of gray water that they generate is enough to provide well over half of their irrigation needs of a fairly lush landscape. That's a whole nother option we can look at.
So I should just take my kitchen sink off the sewer system and just direct it straight into my yard.
You certainly can. The thing you have to keep in mind with a kitchen sink that's different from, say, your shower or whatnot, there's a lot more food material in there, grease, which could attract pests and stuff. So what I like to do with a kitchen sink for a system that's low maintenance, works great, is I direct the gray water into a subsurface chamber. It's right below the surface. So no javelina can dig it up. No dogs can dig it up. There's no odor water problems, and the water is distributed right to the root zone of the plants. I don't lose anything to evaporation, and everything composts in the soil. The soil and the roots and the soil life are my filter. And this is legal, and I show in an appendix in my second book how you can do these systems.
What is the name of your second book?
It's Rainwater Harvesting for Drylands and Beyond, Volume 2, Water Harvesting Earthworks. We can mimic the healthy planetary systems, which are all about myriad cycles. The planet never runs out of nutrients, never runs out of water, maybe various locations at times, but the planet doesn't, because the planet's healthy living systems are all about how to maximize the cycling of all our resources as many times as possible in a way that doesn't degrade the quality of the water or the nutrients, but maintains or enhances it. And that's what we should be aiming to do in our own lives. And we can absolutely do that with simple water harvesting, as I advocate.
Thank you, Brad.
Yeah, thank you.
If you want to learn more about rainwater harvesting, go to harvestingrainwater.com. This is Dan Lout for the Weekly Green. Please leave your comments and suggestions and any tips you might have on saving water on the Weekly Green Facebook page. And thank you for listening.